sometimes we sing things and I don't think we really actually, read or really. This song is so much about reminding ourselves, right? Your love is devoted, talking about God, like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested, like a covenant of old. Your love is enduring through the winter rain. And there's another page. And beyond the horizon with mercy for today. Faithful you have been, and faithful you will be. You pledge yourself to me, and that's why I sing. Your praise will ever be on my lips. So we're looking at the Word of God and the power of the Word of God. And that's what it's talking about. It's talking about the love of God revealed to us by His Word that we can know. It's not just like a covenant of old. It is a covenant of old. It is a promise. It is in our world, things have become so loose and soft that, like, when you pledge your love to someone at the altar of marriage, you know, it's not what it used to be. But I remember when I pledged my love to Christine 25 years ago, I meant it with all my heart that I would carry that through and I would stay faithful to it and I'd walk in it. It was a covenant I've made. It's a covenant she made to me. And we haven't had always easy times in our marriage, but we covenanted with each other. And that's the same kind of covenant that God made with us. And we could trust in it and we could believe in it. And that's why we sing, your praise will ever be on my lips. Because no matter what your situation today, no matter what your struggle, no matter what you're going through, He's provided for it. He's promised. How many of you are parents here? Put up your hands. How many of you ever promised something to your kids? How many of you just suffered yourself to keep that promise? Right? Because we care about the promises we made to our children. And because of that, we, the Bible said, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more would our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to us? He promised. I can't tell you how many times, you know, as the kids were growing up, they said to me, Dad, you promised. Dad, you promised. Dad, you promised. And so that is our heart's cry to God too, right? So when you're struggling with, you know, sickness or you're ready to give up on something, you say, Dad, you promised. It's right here. It said that, you know, that you were wounded for my transgressions, that you were bruised for my iniquities, the chastisement of my peace was upon you, and by your stripes I am healed. You promised, and I believe that you're faithful, and that's why your praise will ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. When you're struggling financially and you don't know how you're going to make it through this week, and you go to God's Word and say, Dad, you said over here that my God will provide all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus, and that's a covenant that you made with me and you promised, and that's why I know, and your praise will ever be on my lips. Even before I see the promise, I praise you because I know that you're faithful to keep your promise. This is not just songs we sing. This is not just words we say. This is God's Word. It's truth. Beyond anything we can experience or know or any struggle that we could be in, God is truth. His Word is truth. We have to buy into it like it's truth. We have to understand that God loves us. If we presuppose that God's mad at us, everything that happens in our life that's evil, we'll blame God for. If we presuppose that God is a good, good Father, which His Word just reveals over and over again, then we'll presuppose that whenever we go through, God's with us and He's got a way for us. Right? So last week we were praying for Amy Cuse, Aubrey's sister, and so they thought she had a tumor, and there's no cancer there, so praise God. They're still a little concerned that there could be some parasites there, so we're believing God that that's going to be a good report shortly too, and that God's going to, you know, heal her completely. But we know that God's Word's true. We know that His Word remains. We know that even when we go through stuff, we can trust in Him. Well, we have to know His Word. We have to have His Word. You know, David in Psalm 118 says, I've hidden your word in my heart so that I would not sin against you. I really think that one of the biggest sins we commit against God is we blame Him for things that He never did. You know, we sometimes blame God for the situation we're in instead of thanking God that He's the answer to the situation we're in. Instead of saying, why, God, am I in this situation? Say, thank you, God, that I'm with you. I'm more than a conqueror. With you, I can do all things because you strengthen me. With you, I have victory. With you, I'm never left alone. I'm never lonely. With you, everything is going to be okay. We have to know that God's word is true. We have to understand and believe that God is a good God. So, you know, we're talking about renewing your mind because we could just keep going around the same old mountain over and over and over again. You ever get lost and, you know, you come to the same intersection and you go, ah, we've been here before. Well, a lot of times in life we do that. We just keep going around the same old circle, the same old thing. And the reason we do is because we need to change. We need to learn. We need to grow. And so we need to make a commitment and a step to grow. We want to be. The Bible teaches us that we should be and we want to be like Christ. You know, God said in Romans 8:29, for whom He foreknew, that's God foreknew, He also predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. The good news is He already planned for us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to think the thoughts of Jesus. He wants us to have the attitude of Jesus. He wants us to be like Him. So our goal should be to love like Jesus, to pray like Jesus, and to live like Jesus. And that's what this whole series that we've been on is all about, is if we start thinking the thoughts of Jesus, that we could start living the life of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I like to be confident enough that even in my darkest hour, I could say, not your will, but not my will, but your will be done. I would like to be able to say that I trust God completely. And the only way I can do that is as I become more like Christ. But we all have thoughts and behaviors that are not Christ-like. Can everybody agree? Yeah, anybody get mad on the way to church this morning or have a fight with your spouse or get mad at your kids or get ticked off because the guy in front of you was going too slow or too fast behind you? Some people, you know, when you're driving, I was driving the other night, and so I don't know what it is with people with pickup trucks. You know, if you drive a pickup truck here, maybe you could learn something this morning, but people with pickup trucks like to drive too close, especially when it's snowy out, and they're all like going 100 miles an hour and nowhere to go. But anyway, so like sometimes you get upset about things like that, but I don't know. What am I talking about? Anyway, we all have thoughts that are not like Christ. So how are we going to get from where we are to where God wants us to be? And are we going to get our thoughts and attitudes in line with Jesus? How are we going to do that? The only way we can do that is to build a relationship with Him. We're to get to a place of peace and trust in Him, we have to really be renewed in our thinking. We have to change the way we think. And we talked about a lot of things through these weeks, but a couple weeks ago I was talking about, you know, our go-to thoughts. And we talked about, you know, how we roll toilet paper over the roll, and we had a good laugh about that, you know. But the truth is that many of our thoughts are a lot more, they're not as benign as how we roll the toilet paper over the toilet roll. You know, it is a lot more important for us to understand that our go-to thought about things that are, you know, so like if your go-to thought about God's love for you is that when you do something wrong, you're sure that God's going to be too mad at you and can't forgive you. If that's your go-to thought, well, I blew it again. There's no way God can forgive me now. That's a really dangerous thought for you. Because one of the most dangerous things we can do as believers is when we throw up our hands and we say, I give up. I can't do it. I can't make it. I can never be good enough. That's the thought that God wants us to avoid. It would be the thought that the devil would love us to embrace, is that we can't be good enough for God. When we have an attitude about sickness that is like, well, every time, you know, the flu's going around, I'm going to be the one who catches it because I always catch everything. Well, that's a dangerous thought for you. You need to change the way you think. You need to think the thoughts of Jesus. The problem we have is that most thoughts are actually ruining our relationship, our health, and our finances, and our well-being. And these are the thoughts that we started talking about last week, but I want to continue with this week. These thoughts are referred to in the Bible as strongholds, or to be more clear, they'd be called stubborn thoughts. Anybody ever have stubborn thoughts? Like thoughts that you just fight against all the time? Like, you know, like it may be inferiority. Maybe, you know, relational thoughts that say, I can never, ever, you know. I've met so many people through the years. Like, and honestly, I would say probably one in every three people I've talked to over the years have said, I don't ever keep friends. I've never had a friend be faithful. I just don't know what it is, but I can't stay in relationships with people. And I'm serious, like one in every three probably that I've talked to. People struggle with relationships, but part of the problem is their thought pattern, their thought process says that I can't. And the promise in Scripture is that God said He would put the lonely in families, that He would give us a place to belong, that He would give us a place to fit. Excuse me. So we need to change the way we think. We need to work at those stubborn thoughts. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 6, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So we all live in this natural world, and yet many of our problems are not natural. They're not just natural problems, but they're spiritual, and they have their root in our mind. We need to deal with these kind of problems, but we try and deal with them through a natural and physical way. We try and deal with it from a natural and physical perspective. The truth is, though, that many times the problems that we're facing are spiritual, and we need to deal with them in a spiritual way and through the mind. The battle must be fought as we renew our mind. So now, those kind of things, when we think about natural or spiritual, when we think about natural things we fight against, or we think about spiritual things, sometimes when we talk about spiritual things, people think it's kind of spooky. And the truth is, we live in a spiritual world, and like whether we like it or not, there's lots of spiritual things going on, and we might not be completely, you know, used to it or aware of it, but we actually really have an enemy that hates us. The enemy is the devil. And he hates you. I promise you, he hates you. Whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, he hates you. He has a bad plan for your life. He's out to kill, to steal, and destroy in your life. And so many times as believers, we just think about living in a natural world. So as long as I eat right, and I pay my bills on time, and I take care of my workplace and my family, everything's going to be okay. As long as I do these natural things right, everything's going to be okay. And then things get thrown at us that we have no way of knowing will come our way. And it's because we're in a fight, a spiritual fight, and we need to deal with it in a spiritual way. So the Scripture goes on to say that the weapons that we use to fight this battle are not natural or physical, right? It says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Well, carnal is just like the word for meat, carne. It's like, it's chili, con carne is meat, right? It is. That's what the word actually means. It's meat. It's flesh. Right? So the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but they're mighty through God. They're spiritual. Right? They're not chilly, but they're spiritual. Right? So we, though, have to learn how to fight with these weapons. The battle you're in is not one that can be won by fighting with our flesh and blood, but by the Spirit and by renewing our minds. The weapons that we fight with are created by God to win. They're not created. We talked about this last week, how it's not really a fair fight, right? If Tanya and I were to get in a fight, a physical fight, I'd probably lose, right? No. She's just a little smaller than me, a little bit like not, she doesn't have the reach I have, and she, you know, unless she uses her karate, I think she's got some kind of belt in karate, she might be able to take me out. But like, so, okay, forget about her. Maybe, we though, you know, like, it's not a fair fight. When we fight against the devil, it's not a fair fight for him, really. I mean, especially not, if we fight in our flesh, yes, it's more than a fair fight for him. But when we fight in the power and with the weapons that God's given us, it's not really a fair fight. So we can win. The weapons are meant to win. The weapons were created to beat the devil in this battle, right? They're mighty, the Bible says, because God's Spirit makes them mighty. God's Word is not just another, you know, positive thinking manual. Although it does talk a lot about our thoughts being positive, but it's not just a manual about, you know, like how to win friends and influence people. It has God's Word in it, and God's Word is backed up by God's Spirit to do damage to the kingdom of darkness, to do damage to the strongholds we have in our mind, to do damage to those stubborn thoughts and to break them loose so that we can be free. In the Scriptures, in the New Testament, one of the predominant themes is that whom the Son sets free is free indeed, right? And the way we get free is by getting God's Word in our heart and fighting out these stubborn thoughts. These strongholds or stubborn thoughts we're talking about are really called arguments and imaginations that are contrary to or against the Word of God. So if God's Word says it's true, and our thoughts and our imaginations say it isn't true, then those thoughts are strongholds. It's hard because we live in a physical world to really sometimes, you know, understand the strength and the power of God's Word. I've been around the world. I've seen many different cultures. And in our culture, we're not really a spiritually aware culture. We've become very smart. We've become very intellectual. And because of that, sometimes we put off the power of the Spirit. We put off the power of spiritual battle. But the power that we're fighting against is a battle, right? And we need to realize that. We need to fight it through. So the strongholds that you allow to remain in your mind, the thoughts that are that disagree with God's Word, those strongholds will keep you from much of what God has planned for your life. So you need to pull them down as though your life depended on it. You need to fight them as though your life depended on it, because your life does depend on it. At least the quality of your life here on earth. I think that a lot of times we think, so, you know, we're going to read this scripture in a little while. It says, you know, to set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth, right? To focus your mind, to set your mind on those things. And sometimes when we think about that, we think about heaven. And heaven is a great place created for us. I think we should think about it often. I don't think there should be a day goes by where we don't think about what it'll be like to stand in the presence of the Lord with none of this junk and sin and strongholds and thoughts in our way. I think we should imagine what that will be like. I think that's good for us. But Jesus came, the Bible said, to set up his kingdom here on earth today. That he said, now the kingdom of God is among us. So there's a life that we can live now on the earth that Jesus has paid for, that Jesus has set us up for, that's not just in eternity, but it's here today and for eternity. So we can live a better life than we're living today, but we have to realize that God has made a plan for it. So So your stronghold might be depression. It might be addiction, right? Your stronghold might be, I give up, right? I just give up. I'm not trying anymore. I'm tired. I don't want to do this anymore. Or whatever. But whatever it is needs to be confronted and assaulted by the truth of the Word of God. If you say, I can't get well, if that thought is constantly in your mind, like, I mean, so as a family last year, we had to deal with the diagnosis that Nick got with cancer. And what they said was that they're just going to try and prolong his life. And so as a family, we bound together and we started believing and trusting God that that truth was a doctor truth, but the truth of God's word was more true than that truth. That the Bible said that by his stripes we are healed. That the same spirit that lives in Jesus now lives in Nick and quickens his mortal body. The same one that raised Jesus from the dead, the Spirit of God, now raises his body back to life. And we trust God and we believe God that God's doing a work in him. That God's done the work and that body of Nick's is going to respond to God's word. But when you're confronted with an idea like cancer that's terminal, it's hard to deal with that thought. It's an assault on your mind that says you can't win this battle. It's a hard battle. But what we have to do in return is we have to make an assault with God's word against those thoughts. We have to take the battering ram of God's word and beat down the door of that thought and make that thought come into submission to God. It's hard. I'm not going to tell you any of this is easy. It's hard. We've been battling for a year. I believe Nick is doing better. Like, he looks great. If I looked as good as him when I was 53 as he looks now, I'm going to be happy. Oh, I am 53. But he's like, looks great. But we're trusting God that what his word said is more true than what the doctor says. So we have to fight. It's not just a let's see what happens, because if we just see what happens, we might have put them in the ground already. But we assault those thoughts and we come against them in the name of Jesus and by the power of his word, and we fight them through. So we started last week. I'm going to just continue this week about just some steps that we can do to renew our minds and to tear down the strongholds. Number one thing we talked about was when you're in the middle of doing something is stop and ask yourself why. So be aware of what you're thinking and why you're thinking it. Because many times thoughts just flitter through our heads. And many times we take those thoughts as truth. We take those thoughts as the truth of God because they just went through our heads. Where do your thoughts go when your thoughts just get a chance to wander? Do they go somewhere positive? Do they go to God's word, or do they just go all over the place? Like, I don't know, like every once in a while I love dreaming, right? And most of the time my dreams are just kind of like silly and fun, and I wake up like I just went to movies and watched a good comedy, right? So I wake up happy and I feel, you know. But every once in a while, I just get into this weird string of dreams. And so this week, I've just been like, my dreams have been stupid and crazy. And just like, so I wake up in the morning and I'm like, come on, get that out, right? But like, so we need to control how we think. We need to take our thoughts captive, the Bible says, and not let them just go wherever they want to go, right? So sometimes, so just for an example, you know, a person grows up in a home where infidelity is a big deal, where it's happened over and over and over again. And then they get married, right? And the husband is late getting home from work, and the thoughts of the wife is to just go right away to, well, where is he and who's he with? Who were you with at lunchtime? What were you doing? What, you know, and the thought is automatically infidelity. Well, it happened to my family, so it must be happening to me now. Well, that's a thought that could be true, but isn't necessarily true. So right away, when you have those kind of thoughts, you need to take captive those thoughts and say, no, God's put us together. what God has put together, let no one take apart, right? So we take hold of those thoughts and we deal with them. So in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, pulling down imaginations and every high thought or high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We need to become aware of what we're thinking, and we need to capture every thought and bring it into alignment with the Word of God. To bring into captivity means to control, to gain control of by force and take prisoner. So in our thought life, we have to sometimes just take some thoughts prisoner. We have to take some thoughts. We have to take control of some thoughts. Like you might be thinking right now, I just want to take a nap. I'm just going to go to sleep right now because I'm a little bored. Well, you need to take that thought captive and stay awake. You need to just stay with me here. So I talked about a bunch of examples last week, but one of the things that stuck in my mind, right, was this. It's income tax time. A lot of us are going to get income tax refunds because of charitable donations and stuff, and Christine and I are going to get a nice one, and we're planning our 25th anniversary trip, and we're going to go somewhere nice, and it's going to be great. And so we make these plans because we know that this money is coming in, right? And so we trust that the Canadian government is going to send us a check, and that check is going to be good, so we can plan our vacation according to that security. But my question is this then, or this my statement is this, that God's word is far more secure than any government check could ever be. So what are you planning on with what God is going to provide for you if you're struggling financially today? What is your go-to thought? What is the stronghold in your mind holding you back, and how are you going to fight that thought? But know this, that God's promises are more sure than any government check. That you can trust in God, that you can rely on Him. So you're dreaming about how God's promises are going to take care of all the things that you need, or are you going about worrying about it instead? So the second thing I want to talk about today, and this is new product now, so just so you can make new notes. So focus your mind on the thoughts of God. Focus your mind on the thoughts of God. We need to get our hearts and our minds focused on God. I just want to go back to one thing I said last week while I'm thinking of it. So it's just, sorry. It was an important thought. And I actually, this is it. Do you think more about your problems, or do you think more about the promises? This is an important thought. So when you're thinking about your marriage, are you thinking more about the problems in your marriage, or are you thinking more about God's promises for your marriage? When you're thinking about your problems in finance, are you worried more about how you're going to pay the bills, or are you focusing more on the one who can provide for you? Are you thinking more about the problem, or are you thinking about the promise? And we need to get our hearts set on the promises of God, because of His promises, as I sang that, said that song in the beginning, His praise will ever be on my lips. We need to know that God's promises are true. So, number two, focus your mind on the thoughts of God. When we're talking about renewing the mind, we aren't just talking about the power of positive thinking. Renewing your mind is not about being a happier or nicer person. It's about thinking the thoughts of God and allowing those thoughts to transform you from the inside out. So we can read lots of books. I read a lot. Like, I probably read two or three books a week. And so I've read, like, everything. Like, I've read so many different books. And so, like, there's lots of books out there that will teach you how to think positive thoughts, how to be more positive, how to be more disciplined, how to manage your time better, all these kind of things. And they try and teach you to be a better person, which is not a bad thing. It's all right to have positive thoughts. It's all right to plan your life out. But what we need to know is God's word is not like the other books, that God's word has power to change. So when we read the Bible, we're reading the thoughts of God toward us. God wrote this book. He had people write this book. He inspired this book so we could know him, so that we can know how he thinks and how he operates. So when we read this book, we learn about thinking the thoughts of God and allowing these thoughts then to transform how we believe. Right? So there's so many examples you could use, but you know, like I have a friend who grew up in Peru, I think it was, and he was, his family was a missionary to Peru, and so when his family went to Peru, they talked to people and asked them to invite Jesus into their hearts. And those people didn't have a clue what he was talking about. Like, what do you mean in our hearts? But what they found out is that in that culture, they needed to invite Jesus into their stomach because that was the center of them, right? And so, like, because they understood things in a different way, they had to be taught in a different... But so God's thoughts toward us are thoughts that would be, transform us from the inside out. So we need to get to the root of what we are and have God transform us. So in Isaiah 55, verse 9 to 11, it says, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but the waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud and give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall certainly do what I sent it to do." If you want to memorize a scripture as a believer, I think this is a great scripture to memorize because it's really about God's word really doing what it said it would do. And it's talking about God's thoughts being higher than our thoughts. So if you want to live in God's way, the higher way, then think God's thoughts, the higher thoughts, right? Instead of just letting your mind wander and do its own thing, make it focus on God's word. Make it focus on God's thoughts. Instead of, you know, so we're quick. How many of you do this? When you want to know something, like I know this with young people, with millennials, if you say anything, they'll get their phone out and check on Google, right? So they'll just check because they know. They know where they can find an answer. And many times when we think that we're sick, how many of you have felt symptoms and then gone to the internet to check out your symptoms? Anybody? Only two or three? Only three, really. That's amazing. Anyway, and the rest of you should do some research about lying, because it might be that you're lying. But anyway, we're quick to research things. When we think we're sick, we are quick to research what our symptoms are, what they are, what to do next. And if we had a problem with our car, we'll go online and we'll try and diagnose the problem with the car. But how quick are you to get to God's word and research the answer to your problem in God's word? Right? Are you as quick to go to God's word for the answer to your problem as you are to go to Google for the answer to your problem? How many of you are tearing up your Bible or using your online concordance to try and find the answer from God's word to what you're going through instead of what, you know, WebMD says about your problem? We need to put more value on the word of God. We need to go after the word of God like it was the answer to our life instead of Google or WebMD or, you know, YouTube, right? Because God's word has the answer for our life. God's word has the answer for our life. How quick are we to research God's word to see what God thinks about it? A great way to focus your thoughts, though, is we talked a couple weeks ago about go-to thoughts. Well, maybe you should get some go-to thoughts about the things that are going on in your life. So if you're not sick now, you might get confronted with sickness down the road. Why don't you get into God's word and find some go-to thoughts about your health, right? So when, you know, you feel that pain in a place you shouldn't feel pain, or, you know, you're out on the driveway shoveling the snow and you feel that, you know, right there. And, you know, well, If I go to Google, it might tell me I'm having a heart attack. Or you could read God's word and it could say that by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Right? That he carried my sickness and bore my diseases. Right? So this is a good go-to thought for when you're sick. Or for when you can't sleep. Right? You know, have a good go-to thought. Like my go-to thought every time when I'm having trouble sleeping, which is rare, I sleep well. But when I have a bad night, my go-to thought is this. Lord, you said that you would give your beloved sleep. And I'm your beloved, and I want to sleep. So I'm going to sleep now. That's my go-to thought, and I always fall asleep. Like very rarely when I go to that go-to thought, don't I fall asleep? It's important. So plan, right? Put some stuff in your mind, in your bank account of your mind to fight the negative thought with the scriptural thought, with the biblical thought. So when, you know, you're laying in bed and you're worrying about how you're going to pay your mortgage next week, right? And the go-to thought has always been, well, I don't know, I'm going to. But then have a go-to thought, a thought that says, well, my God shall provide all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, right? And when you're going to have this thought that your spouse is driving you crazy and you're a man and you don't know what to do because you're like, she makes me nuts. Don't put up your hands, guys. I don't want you to die today, right? But like, why do you think this thought? That I'm to love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave his life for her, right? So I might be going crazy today, but my command, my biblical thought is I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church. And I'm going to be willing to give my own life for her. I'm going to put that as a priority. So good go-to thoughts. Like, just start tearing up the Bible a bit, trying to find what God's word says about the situations that are common in your life. Force your mind to think God's thoughts about them. Remember the power of one biblical thought. I'm going to tell you this. I tell you this. I've been telling you this through this series. But like my dad was really a religious person who was far away from God. And one thought came to his mind. The thought was, where will I go if I die? If I die today, will I go to heaven? And he spent months trying to get an answer to that question. But when he got the answer to that question, he surrendered his life to Christ. He said, I give my life to you. I believe in you. I trust in you. And because his one thought, one biblical thought about eternity, his life was changed. Our family's life was changed. Him and us kids. And now his grandchildren's life have changed. And we watched like over 1,000 people walk by his coffin when he died and just tell us stories about his life and how it impacted them for eternity. And so thousands of people upon thousands of people were impacted by one biblical thought. So if you have one biblical thought, when the enemy comes against you to fight you, to lay you out, to ruin your life, whether that be in your health, your marriage, your finances, whatever, right? If you have one biblical thought, that thought that's empowered by God, strengthened by his word and by his spirit, it's not a fair fight. You're going to win the fight. You're going to win. But you need to have a thought. You need to have a thought. Don't spend your time crying and worrying and go get drunk or get high or whatever, you know, because you're all spun out about the thought. But take that thought captive and speak God's word to it. Speak God's word to it. That thought, a biblical thought, can transform your life. What biblical thought are you meditating on? What biblical thought are you focusing on today? If you don't have one you're thinking about, get one. If you don't have a Bible, get a Bible. I'll give you a Bible. I'll give you a nice Bible. If you don't have a way to read a Bible, if you can't read, then you know your phone can read to you. And if you don't have a phone, you know, call someone that's sitting around you and let them read the Bible to you. Read it to you. Get it in your heart. Learn it. So practice number 3. Practice thinking God's thoughts. practice it. Practice it on a regular basis. Here's the thing, you know, for the past few months, we've been involved in a small group that Marlene and Frank have been leading, and they just walked out to go make you coffee, so they won't get to hear me talking about this, but they've been leading called Love and Respect. This is a great, great small group. It's going to be running again in the fall. If you're married, it'll be really helpful for you. If you're not married, and you just want to understand how to get along with the opposite sex better, this will really help you. It's really good. It's awesome. But there's a lot of new thought in that, right, that we've been learning. But the simple truth that God's word is teaching about is that a man should love his wife, and a wife should respect her husband unconditionally. A man should love his wife unconditionally, and a woman should respect her husband unconditionally. That if we give a woman love, they'll respond, and it'll be good for them, and it'll make them feel stronger and healthier and happier. If you give a man respect, the same. So we've been learning that, but we've been relearning that men and women are different, right? Men respond to respect. Women respond to love. We're different, but not wrong. It's not wrong that I don't respond in love because it's not my natural way to respond. It's not Christine's problem that she doesn't naturally respond with respect because she's wired to respond with love. So we have different responses that we are created that way to respond. And so we're different, but we have to learn how to love each other in a way that would help them. And whenever you're learning something new, you feel uncomfortable. Anybody ever been feeling uncomfortable when you're trying something new? I guess the easiest way is when you go to a gym. If you never go to a gym and you go to a gym. I remember years ago when Monica took up running. And she became a marathon runner. And I could imagine there was days that you were out there running and you just wanted to quit. It hurts so much and you get back in and everything is like, oh, it hurts. Well, that's the way change is. It makes us uncomfortable. And so, you know, we've been trying. I've been trying. Christine's been trying. And we're trying to, you know, change the way we do things a bit. And when I try, I feel uncomfortable. And the tension is that when you feel uncomfortable about something, you want to quit doing it, right? I don't know about you, but I don't like being uncomfortable. So we try and we feel uncomfortable. And you try again and you feel uncomfortable. But if you keep trying and you keep practicing, then you'll start feeling more and more comfortable with what you're learning. And our goal as a couple is to stay married. And not only stay married, but stay in love. And stay committed. And stay in God's will for our life. So we work and we try and we feel uncomfortable. And honestly, probably since we started this, we've been, you know, having a little few more struggles than we usually have. But it's because we're trying to grow and get better. And so we struggle more sometimes in the beginning, right? But if you keep practicing, you'll start feeling better, and it'll start feeling more natural. So when you're taking God's word and applying it to your life, at times it will feel uncomfortable. It'll feel like it doesn't fit. It'll feel like, you know, this isn't working for me. And so the tendency will be that you'll want to quit, that you'll want to stop trying, that you won't want to keep going there because this doesn't work for me. This is not natural for me. This is not a fit for me. I remember when I started golfing, Christine and I, we went up to Barrie to a resort, and we had this woman teaching us how to golf. And, like, you got to, you know, put your feet this way, and then you got to hold the thing this way, and then you got to be able to see the knuckle there, and then you got to swing back, and then you got all these thoughts in your head while you're trying to make a golf swing, and you feel like, you know, when you see that little pony, that little horse come out of its mother and try and make its first few steps, and it's all like wonky and it's all legs, right? That's the way you feel. And I felt that way, and I felt like, oh, it's so awful. I'm never going to get this. But then, you know, I went golfing a couple times a week for a while, and then sometimes even three times a week, and I was out there in my yard swinging the club. And after a while, it just started to feel natural. It started to feel like it fit. I didn't have to think about everything anymore. It just became just a trained response in my body to do that swing. Well, it's the same when we try and learn how to renew our minds and apply that renewed thought to our life. At first, it will feel like a young horse trying to take its first steps. But as we keep practicing and keep trying and keep doing it, we'll grow in it and we'll become, you know, better. So your comfort, really, you know, we talk about comfort zone and none of us like being out of our comfort zone. But our comfort zone really has nothing to do with what's good for us, right? Can anybody name some comfort foods? Pizza, chips, chocolate, ice cream. What? Mac and cheese, cinnamon hearts, right? I didn't hear anybody say my comfort food is Brussels sprouts. No. Did you just say Brussels sprouts? Really? Oh, because comfort has nothing to do with what's good for us. Comfort has everything to do with what makes us feel comfortable. And so we need to get out of our comfort zone. And we need to press into God and His Word and let it change us. So will you break out of your comfort zone and walk into the life that God has planned for you? The way to do it is to renew your mind. So let me just go through the rest of this rather quickly. So I'm not going to speak quickly. I'm just going to pass over a few things. So in Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth." So the word "seek" here is really strong. It gives the same feeling as if you'd lost your car keys or your wallet and you're searching for it. Does anybody ever really just kind of like not intense when you've lost your car keys or your wallet for searching for it? Like, or do you recruit everybody that's around to try and help you find your keys or your wallet so that you can go, or at least you have your wallet and your keys in your pocket or in your purse so you know where they are, right? This is a really serious feeling of intensity in searching with a great deal of commitment and even urgency. The word that "seek" here is even means worship. It's one of the meanings of it, is that when we seek something in that way, that with that intensity, we worship it. So when we seek something that's a high priority to us, it's a form of worship. So are you seeking those things which are above? And if we're going to seek those things which are above, what are those things which are above? Are we just supposed to sit around and daydream about heaven all day? Is that what we're supposed to do? So we're at work and we're just daydreaming about heaven, or we're sitting down with our spouse and having a dinner and all we're dreaming about is heaven? I don't think that's what the scripture means here, right? Are we saying that if we really love God, we're thinking about heaven all the time? Here in the Amplified Bible, if we read the same verse, it's talking about have your mind on eternal things and not on temporal things. So then it says, if then you have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing His resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and set your mind and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things which are on the earth, which have only temporal value. So what are things that have temporal value? Is your spouse, is that something of temporal value, or your children, or your, you know, the person that's a pain in the neck at work? Is that people, is that things that are temporary in value? No, because they're eternal. They're going to have an eternal life, or they're going to have, whether with God or not, but they're eternal. These are eternal things, right? But things like that vacation you're planning, you know, the blue water, the white sand, beautiful sunsets, those are temporal, right? The new car is temporal, right? The retirement savings plan is temporal. Bigger house, nicer house, all temporal. These things burn. These things won't go with us. These seem really important in the moment, but they're not important in eternity. They're temporal, right? So set your mind on the things that are eternal. Set your value on things that are eternal, not on things that are without really an eternal value. So many times we we get so focused on things that are temporary, right? So we get all your keys. Have you ever lost your wallet and you have that intense feeling that you need to find them right away? So when that happens, we recruit everyone around us to help us look for them and get really focused and even anxious when we don't see what we're looking for right away. But do we get like that about God? Do we really seek after the things that are eternal and not temporal? The Bible says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11 to 13, "For I know the purpose which I purpose for you, says the Lord, Jehovah, purposes of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And we concentrate on that verse and we say, yeah, that's what I want. That's what I want. I want that. But then this is what the verse goes on to say. "Then you shall call on me and you shall go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When you search for him in a passionate, intense way, you'll find him. You focus on him, you'll find him. So many times we get so comfortable with where we are that we don't even dream of a better world anymore. We get so used to living on the outside when the call of God all through the scripture is to come further up and further in, to experience him, to seek him, and all that he has prepared for us. So set your minds and keep them set on things above. Set your minds and keep them set on things above and turn your attention away from the temporal thing and set it on the eternal. What are you searching for? What are you seeking for? Would you like a better relationship with God? Would you like a better relationship with your spouse? Would you like a life with less pain? Would you like a life that was a little less stressful? What are you seeking? Ask yourself this. What am I seeking? Am I going to Google or am I going tearing up God's word trying to find the answers for my life? With what intensity am I seeking? And who am I really seeking for? God wants you to live a free life. God has a good plan for you. But you need to get involved. You need to do your part. You need to seek him. You need to plant his word in your heart. You need to start thinking the thoughts of God and believing that God's thoughts are the right thoughts and trusting in him and let that transform you from the inside out.